I mentioned Afghanistan, and our prayers are certainly with our brothers and sisters in Christ over there, as we can't imagine what they may be facing. And heard some reports or unverified reports, I'm not exactly sure, but we certainly need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as other American citizens and our troops that are over there. And so continue to pray there. As you think of Afghanistan, of course, this week our president has ordered our troops and others to withdraw from Afghanistan. It has been a war that has been going on for, these many, up to 20 years coming up. And yet, as we look at that war, it was considered a war on terrorism. And that war on terrorism actually started before that. And yet it continues, and it will continue. But as we think of that, and we think, wow, that is a long time. I want you to know that there's another war that's waging. And this war has been going on for centuries. In fact, this war has been waging since Genesis chapter 3 and the temptation and fall of Adam and Eve. And if you consider the fall of Lucifer, the devil, from the presence of God, it's been going on even longer than before Genesis chapter 3. And that war is spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. We're in war. And as you take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 10, we're going to discover another awesome truth here as we study the book of Daniel. I continue to be amazed as I launched into Daniel, as I mentioned, all excited about Daniel and his testimony and his character and how God worked in his life. And then launching into Daniel 7, 8, 9, all the way up through 12, I'm like, oh my, I'm not sure. I told the worship team that as they're planning the worship services, I'm not sure how I'm going to handle these texts. So, we're going to trust God to work the music and the praise together with his message here. But as I launched into Daniel 10, thinking, man, this is going to be all about prophecy and everything, I was blown away by what God was doing in this passage. We're going to learn a little bit more about Daniel. Last week, we learned that though he was a man who of whom there's no recorded sin in the scriptures, he humbled himself and confessed sin, his sin, the sin of the people before God in chapter 9. And it's like, wow, look at his testimony, his humility there. We learned about that last week. He communed with the Lord. He was a man who communed with the Lord no less than 3 times a day, probably continually. He was in the Word. He was a man of the Word and prayer. And today we're going to discover the power behind his prayers. We like to say, wow, there's power in prayer, right? Power in prayer. I want to be careful there, and I want us to be careful there, because it's not the power of our prayer. We're going to learn of the power behind our prayers, right? We'll talk about the power behind Daniel's prayer and ours as well. So this chapter introduces the fourth and final vision of Daniel. There were visions of Daniel, and this is the fourth one. But again, I was looking at, here we go, into the vision of Daniel. That doesn't actually start till chapter 11. In chapter 10, it introduces the upcoming vision that begins again in chapter 11. All of this takes place, as you see in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. This was 2 years after Gabriel appeared to Daniel in chapter 9. And the return of the exile had begun. Very interestingly, we're going to learn here that Daniel was in mourning and prayer. Cyrus had told the people, the Jews, that they could return. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 22, you can read about that. And Ezra 1:1, you read that Cyrus, God worked in his heart to allow the people to return back to Jerusalem. The Jewish people who had been in exile for 70 years, you're allowed to return. And you would think that this would be exciting. Like, yes, we're going back home. Come on, people, you know. And yet, as Daniel looked at this, he was mourning. He was in fasting and prayer. And you're like, what's that all about? I mean, his prayer was answered. And here 2 years later, he's in mourning over this. He's like, what's going on? Well, as you look at this, when they did go back, they kind of trickled back. There were three major deportations back home. But here we have this taking place, and not a whole lot was happening. You would have thought they're like, yeah, come on, let's go. We're going to build a temple. They laid the foundation. Nothing else happened. And they just didn't seem really all that excited about it. And some people said, we're not going back. They were just comfortable in the pagan culture. That could preach right there. That'd be a good message right there. May we not become comfortable and complacent and apathetic in a pagan culture. Let's be excited about meeting with God. And so he was mourning over this, as we see here in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. A word was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. You think, well, wait a minute. He hasn't been called Belteshazzar since chapter 1 or 2 here. It's like maybe chapter 3. Why does he refer back to himself as Belteshazzar? I think it's because he wants the reader to know this is the same Daniel that started the book that's going to finish the book, right? Don't get confused with all that's going on. There are some who don't think Daniel actually wrote the book. The prophecies in Daniel are so accurate, they said it couldn't have been written in Daniel's time. Somebody wrote it later. This is Daniel, who is called Belteshazzar. This is the same one that started the book. And the word was true. And it was a great conflict. This introduces spiritual warfare in the present and in the future. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. One commentator said he didn't take a bath for 3 weeks. He was so wrapped up in his prayers. As I was standing on the bank of the river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Ephah around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like the flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished brass, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone. And I saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. We'll pause right there. We're not told who this heavenly messenger is that came to Daniel at this time. It sounds a lot like the description of Jesus that John has in Revelation chapter 1, and as Ezekiel has in Ezekiel chapter 1. It sounds like the Lord Jesus, and it very well could have been the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus before he was born. Because we know that Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And so this very well could have been Jesus. But as we wrestle with this, we're going to learn here in a moment that this heavenly messenger wrestled with the prince of Persia for 3 weeks. And then when he came to Daniel, it's kind of like it was a tag team and Michael jumps in to take over while this heavenly messenger goes and talks to Daniel. All right? And so you might scratch your head and say, how could it be Jesus wrestling with a demonic force for 3 weeks? I mean, when he comes back again with one word, evil will be wiped out, right? So how could it possibly be Jesus? Well, I there's discussion on that, and I'm not going to make a big deal about it other than I believe it was. With that, even with that argument, that's just, I can't be dogmatic about it, but I believe this was Jesus coming to his aid. You say, well, what about the fight, the 3 weeks fight? As I was thinking just even this morning, I thought, you know what? The battle, it goes on and on. Yet one day Jesus will wipe it all out and take care of it all with his word, one word. But you know what? He is fighting for you right now. And though I can't be dogmatic, I do believe that Jesus is fighting on our behalf even right now. Could be Jesus coming to his aid. Whoever it was a heavenly being, as a man, came to him to talk with him. And behold, verse 10, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken his word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. It came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. It's for the future. Verse 15. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. God provides that strength for you in your time of need. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Again, just for a moment. This is proof that you need to be in the Word of God. You need to be a student of the Word of God, to read his word, to study his word, and respond to the Lord in prayer. Don't look at reading your Bible as a spiritual rabbit's foot. All too often, I think there are folks who, whether it's morning or at night or sometime, they read the Bible and they say, I've taken care of it. Now, I think reading a passage, it's great. But I'm encouraging you to be a student of the Word, to get into the Word of God and allow God to speak to you. That's how God speaks to you. You have everything you need for life and godliness through His Word. And that's how God, and I just encourage you, if that's not your habit, whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's an hour or whatever it is, to just say, God, I'm coming to you to hear what you have for me today. And go to his word with anticipation as to what God might have for you. Get into his word, because that's how he speaks to you. And then you respond to him in prayer. Too many people are looking for something beyond the word. But if we would just get into the word, he has what you need for today. Verse 20. Then he said to me, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except against these, except Michael, your prince. Here's your take-home thought today. And that is, you are engaged in spiritual warfare. There's no doubt about it. We're catching a glimpse here of what goes on behind the heavenly realms. And you are engaged in spiritual warfare. And it's tough. It's a challenge. It can be difficult, and we can struggle and fight against these things, and we stumble, and sometimes we fall. There's a spiritual battle going on. We struggle against spiritual warfare. You're engaged in spiritual warfare. But remember, God's got this, right? You're engaged in spiritual warfare, but God's got this. However that spiritual warfare is manifested in your life, God's got it. You may be oblivious to it. You may have come in today thinking, spiritual warfare is the farthest thing from my mind. Well, I'm glad you're here, because I believe that God wants you and me to hear this. You are engaged in spiritual warfare. And it's not to, you know, oh no, what are we going to do? He wants to help us, and I hope this text will help you with that. But some people are oblivious to it. It's like, you know, yeah, I never thought about it before. And if you're oblivious to it and you really don't care about this, then you are probably a non-factor in the spiritual battle. And you are rendered ineffective in the war. It may be because you've never come to Jesus. If you are here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in a spiritual battle. If it makes no difference to you, you've already lost. In fact, you're dead in your transgressions and sin. And what you need to do is you need to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you through His Word, even as we're talking here today, according to the Scriptures, and you need to allow God to make you alive in salvation through Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. That's why He died and He's buried. He rose again. He was fighting the spiritual battle on your behalf to save you. Now, the interesting thing about this is many of you have trusted Christ. If you haven't, we invite you to come to Jesus. We want to help you with that. It's the most important decision that you could ever do. It's the most important surrender you could ever make, is surrender to Jesus. Now, in inviting you to come to Jesus, it's kind of a tough call, because what He's asking you to do is, when you come to Jesus, you're going to be engaged in war. I don't believe in an easy believism where you just, I prayed a prayer when I was 12 and man, I'm on my way to heaven and I can just do anything I want. Now, when you ask Jesus to save you, you need to understand you're enlisting. And my friend, it ain't going to be easy all the time. The blessing of salvation and the calm assurance of eternity in heaven with Him, man, that helps you through. But there are going to be some battles. There are going to be some wars. But you have the victory through Jesus. We'll get to that in a moment. And if you're a Jesus follower, you're in a battle. And we need to learn how to be powerful combatants. In Zechariah chapter 4, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, and God says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We don't fight the battles in the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. The heavenly being mentioned in verse 5 there was fighting demonic forces. So the question here is, how in the world do you engage in the rampant spiritual warfare that is taking place all around you? Now, we can't speculate. We must not speculate about spiritual warfare and sensationalize it. Early on in my ministry, there was a man by the name of Frank Peretti who wrote a book called This Present Darkness about spiritual warfare. And he just took his imagination, and he texts like this. He realized, you know what? Man, this is going on all around us. And I mean, he had demons, you know, slithering across the floor of the sanctuary, you know, and in people's rooms. And it was like, oh, you know. And Frank Peretti, I've never met the guy. I've heard him, a tape of him preaching, and he's an effective communicator. So I'm not going to take away from any of that. my point here is, let's not go beyond what the Word says in our understanding of spiritual warfare, okay? We're not going to sensationalize this. We're going to look at this from what God says here. The fact of the matter is, there is a war waging right now, and it is raging. We need to be aware of this and how to fight in this war. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 to 5, if you have YouVersion, it's there. You can look it up or jot it down in your notes and check me out later. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, Paul is writing, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh," we're living in this body, "we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Spiritual warfare going on all around us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, talking about putting on the whole armor of God. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God," in verse 11, "that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." You're in a spiritual battle. A spiritual war is raging around you. Colossians 1:16 says, speaking of Christ, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him." Revelation 12:7. "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back." There's a spiritual war raging. We're going to look this morning at four realities of spiritual warfare. Four realities. I think these are things of which you need to be made aware. And the first one might seem pretty obvious, but when you pray, God hears you. When you pray, God hears you. Be encouraged. Verse 12, this heavenly being says to Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand," Daniel purposed in his heart. He set his heart. It means, just like in Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself against the king's meat. Here we see that he was purposed to know and understand what God was telling him so that he could tell the people. God help me. He purposed to understand, and he humbled himself. He bowed down in humility before your God. "Your words have been heard." Underline that in your Bible. He was praying to God, "Your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." When you pray, God hears you. Be encouraged. When you say, "Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus," you step in the very presence of Almighty God. And be encouraged. You, through Jesus Christ, have access to Almighty God. And be encouraged that he works in whatever your situation may be. Of course, Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." In other words, if you're holding on to a sin, and it's like, "Man, yeah, I want to live for God, I want to walk with God, but there's just one sin here. I gotta hold on to it, man, because I really like it." You know, if you're doing that, God will not hear you. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean God's up there going, "You know, I can't, you know, I'm not gonna listen to what you have to say, la 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 la"? Right? No, because God hears all things; he knows all things. What it means is he is not obligated to answer your prayers. Don't expect it. If you're hanging on to something, that's why when you come to the Lord, stay confessed up. Deal with that issue in your heart. In fact, verse 19 of Psalm 66 says, but truly God has listened. If I regarded iniquity in my heart, he's not going to hear me. But truly God has listened and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Meaning, if you come to God in prayer, confessed up, crying out to him in your time of need, he hears and answers. Amen? Be assured of that. Be encouraged by that. Don't neglect this means of stepping into the very presence of God Almighty. Prayer is the key to fighting spiritual warfare. When you pray, God hears you. So often, we tend to neglect it. I confess, how often have I, and it's more than I want to admit, where I have walked away from a situation and gone, oh man, I should have prayed with them. And there have been times where we're at home and I'm talking to Teresa and I say, well, hey, you know, we're talking about a situation. And I'll say, well, I got to get going. And she'll say, hey, do you think we ought to pray about that? Yes, dear. You know, yeah, I should have done that. Man, I'm the pastor. I should have been telling her, you know. I think that's why God created pastors' wives, you know, to keep us on track. But so often, I think it tends to become an afterthought. May we be not a church that prays, but a praying church. That we have little prayer meetings going all the time. Even before I planned to approach this text in this way, we had talked as pastors. You know what? We're gonna pray before the services. Now we've had the boiler room ministry in the past until COVID came up, and I thank God for those folks who gathered every Sunday before each of the services and prayed. We're gonna pray in the last several weeks. Pastor Nate's been real faithful about this. Before this service, we're going to pray. Before the early service, we're going to pray. Because that just invokes the presence and power of God. Not that he's not already here. But we need to realize that when we pray, God hears us. I think that's important in spiritual warfare. Prayer is the key to fighting those spiritual warfare. We need to be all about that. But here's the second reality, and that is when you pray, you are engaging in spiritual warfare. Verse 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. This is the heavenly being is saying, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. There are a couple times in the scriptures when we are given a glimpse into what's going on in heaven. If we knew exactly what was going on all the time, we would probably just sit in a curled up ball in a fetal position thinking, oh, even comes quickly, Lord Jesus, right? But in Job chapter 1, it's one of those where God just, for you and me, those who have read the book of Job throughout the ages, God says, let me show you what's going on behind the scenes. And the enemy had to go to Job and ask permission to touch Job in the way that he touched Job. Couldn't do it without the permission of God. And Job, until he went to be with the Lord, we're not told that he was told anything about that, what happened in heaven. In fact, at the end of Job, he says to God, confronts him and says, who do you think you are, Job? And Job says, oh my, I spoke of things I did not understand. You and I have an advantage. He has opened the curtain just a little bit to show you what is going on behind the scenes. And this text right here in Daniel chapter 10, God has done the same thing. He has opened up the curtain just a little bit for you and me to see what is going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. And here we see that the prince of Persia was a demon force. And you say, how do you know that? Well, for one thing, because if it was a human being, any human being would not be able to stand against the heavenly being for a moment. And here, this prince of Persia was fighting against a spiritual force for 21 days. And another reason why I believe it was a demonic force was because Satan is called the prince and power of the air. And Daniel, in prayer, breached the spiritual realm when he fasted and prayed. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Speaking of putting on the armor of God, it says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." You are to pray in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Doesn't mean you get into this Zen zone, you know, like, ooh, you know. It means that you pray understanding that the Holy Spirit is going before the Father on your behalf with groans that cannot be uttered. You say, well, what are those? Doesn't tell us. Can't utter them. We don't know what they are. Don't try to make it some kind of spiritual prayer language that you try to understand. No, you can't. But the Holy Spirit goes before the Father on your behalf. That's praying in the Spirit or by means of the Spirit, in your heart, through the Holy Spirit of God. And rely upon Him for His strength in order to engage in spiritual warfare. And we wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you are engaged in spiritual warfare, I want to encourage you to pray spiritual prayers. We have a prayer reminder, but a large portion of our prayer reminder are health concerns, physical concerns. And I'm not saying don't ask for prayer in those areas. But understand that in all of that, we need spiritual prayers. We need to be praying about spiritual issues as well. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul tells the Ephesian people that he is praying for them. And he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spiritual wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." My friend, if we would pray prayers like that, there's nothing stopping us. You pray that kind of prayer for your own heart and life, that you may grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. And you pray that for your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children. You pray that for others in this ministry, for one another, to grow in those ways. You pray those spiritual prayers in the name of Jesus. Or like Paul continues in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he prays, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." Man, that's a prayer that you could pray for yourself and that you could pray for your family and pray for one another, that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, so that when we go through difficult times, we're looking to Him. Pastor Nate, earlier in the service, he did just that when he quoted Psalm 23 and he said, "There are times when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, may we fear no evil." Whatever it is your valley may be, you pray. A spiritual prayer, "God help me." Understand here the significance of prayer, calling upon the Lord. And you need to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit as you navigate the issues of life. And when you pray, it's not just a now I lay me down to sleep. Or God, thank you for this. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to say, God is great, God is good, and we thank you for food, amen. All right, let's eat, you know. And we're off. And so, I'm not saying don't pray for your meals, and I'm not saying don't pray when you go to bed. But I just encourage you to have greater depth in your prayer life. To go before God. And by the way, there are, have you ever flown on a private plane with a private pilot? Every time I've flown a private plane with a private pilot, they pull out a little list. And they walk around the plane, and they're tapping, and they're looking, and then they get in, and they have their little list here, and they're going, and they're doing this, and they take the pedals and all of that. They're checking everything out. And every one that I've had, they've had this list. And they go through that list. There's no problem with going to the Word and say, okay, I'm going to pray a spiritual prayer. And Pastor Dale mentioned Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to pray this prayer for my family. I'm going to pray this prayer for my friends at church, for our ministry. It can help you do that. Here's another reality, spiritual warfare. And that is when you pray, God meets you where you are. And he provides exactly what you need. When you pray, God meets you where you are, and he provides exactly what you need. Look at verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Here was Daniel. It says that he had been on his face before God. And when this happened, and he was touched, and he came to his hands and knees, and he was trembling. What is going on? And here's this 90-year-old man, and he touches him again, and he brings him to his feet. He was so touched by all of this. And he said to me in verse 11, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly loved." Oh, man, that speaks to his character. Wouldn't it be awesome if that's how God described you? That you're greatly loved. It says something of his character. And you know what? You are loved by God. You are greatly loved by God. How do I know? Because he sent his son to die for you in your place. And he loves you, and he wants you to come to him in salvation and engage in the battle. Oh, Daniel, man greatly loved, verse 11. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken his words to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand," Daniel had purpose to understand these things. "From the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard." Underline it in your Bible. When you came before our great God in prayer, your words were heard. Amen? Wow. May we not take that privilege for granted and flippantly. But your words are heard and have come because of your words. Your prayer is answered, and that's why I'm here. God provided strength for Daniel in that moment. And so God is for you in your moment, whatever your moment may be, to trust in his sufficient grace in your time of need. We say, God's got this, or God's got it. I'm adding another one, in your moment. Whatever your moment may be, it may be in pain and suffering. I like raised my hand in early service, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. my shoulders. But you know what? God's got this. Whatever your moment is, and we don't like pain. I don't like pain. Anybody like pain? I don't like it. But if whatever pain you may be facing, going through, physical, emotional, spiritual, God comes to you with his sufficient grace in your time of need. There are times when we look at someone and say, oh man, I don't know how they're able to do that. How can they get through that? I don't know that I could. Do you know what? You don't need God's sufficient grace until or unless you go through what that person's going through, right? It may be pain, it may be suffering, it may be doubt, it may be temptation. Some of you are going through or have gone through and still struggle with what I call life-dominating sins. The world calls it addictions. And as you are tempted to go back, you're like, no, I can't. Oh, cry out to God. God, help me. And he comes alongside in your time of need. Don't neglect the power of prayer in that. It may be fear. It may be worry. You may be nervous. You may be sad or lonely. God comes alongside you in your loneliness. It may be grief. Your time of need. He comes to you. You cry out to God in prayer. Don't neglect that. There are some people who have said, man, I was so weighed down. I was so burdened. I couldn't even pray. No, don't do that. Don't go down that road. That's when you need to pray. You may not know what to pray. You might just say, oh, God, help me. That may be all you can get out at the time. But God meets you right where you are and provides exactly what you need. It may be uncertainty. It may be questions. It may be the need for boldness. We're going to be doing a portrait of discipleship, portrait of a disciple after our study in Daniel. And one of the messages is going to have to do with boldness. Man, God help me as I share my faith. As I tell this, I need to tell people about Jesus. I need your boldness. God help me. Maybe wisdom, maybe strength, confidence. Whatever it is, it may be a health concern. When you pray, God meets you where you are and he gives you exactly what you need. That's a faith statement. You have to believe that. I'm not talking about some rush of emotion. Now, sometimes when you pray that prayer, there is like, thank you, God, for your help. I'm just talking about believing that when you do that, God helps you. And go to his word for the help that you need in that moment. Here's a final reality out of the text here today, and that is spiritual warfare continues until you're with Jesus. Spiritual warfare continues until you are with him. In verse 14, it says, and came, this heavenly messenger came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. The vision that you're about to receive in chapter 11 and 12 is for the future and how God is going to work in his people's hearts and lives, the nation of Israel, in the days ahead. And it's going to be a long time. And specifically, the tribulation period. And spiritual warfare is going to continue until that time, until he comes back. And when he comes back, he's going to declare victory over sin and death. He did that on the cross, and he rose again. That's the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. That's why we have a resurrected Savior. He has won the victory over sin and death. And we're going to realize that when he comes, when he returns. My son was a Marine. And his final deployment was over in Afghanistan. And he has some stories. One of his stories, I haven't heard them all, I'm convinced of that. But one of his stories was they were on patrol, and they were going through a city. He didn't tell me what the city was. And he and his fellow Marines were sitting up against a wall, just taking a break. And there were some Afghanis there were with them and kind of intermingled there with them, interspersed. And they were all sitting there taking this break. And he said one of the guys was sitting there and said, Taliban. And my son says, we were like, what? He goes, Taliban. oh my goodness, where? And all of a sudden, it broke loose. And they were in the middle of a battle. And the war was raging. It wasn't that the war wasn't raging before that, but they were in the thick of the battle. May we not become complacent. May we not just sit back. Maybe be aware of what's going on around us. And this, my friend, this morning, it's a warning to you and me that there are spiritual enemies out there. And they're going to take pot shots at you continually. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I'm convinced that we need to be all about earnest, fervent prayer. Why? Because we are in a war. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. God is at work. Let's call upon His awesome power to help us in our time of need, because victory is found in Christ and Christ alone. May we call upon Him on our knees in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You even now. And I confess that I don't fully understand the significance of prayer. And yet I thank You for a passage like this that helps me and convinces me, but may it not just start I understand that, but may it result in a changed heart on my behalf. And I pray that that will be the case for every person here, that we would go before You continually in prayer, that we would be honest before You. And so I'm going to pause, and as you continue in prayer, I encourage you to continue in prayer to evaluate your heart before God. And that you would say, God, give me strength for whatever Your moment may be. And to call upon the power of Your Spirit to go before the Father on Your behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. We may not understand. There are times when we don't even know what to pray. Just cry out to God. Ask for help in your time of need. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we want to help you with that. I'm going to be down front here, be after the service for a little bit. If you've never trusted Christ, I encourage you to come to Jesus today. We want to help you with that. But I appeal to every believer to make a commitment. You know what? I'm in a battle. I need to be in prayer, calling upon the power of God to help me. And may we see God do a tremendous work in our hearts and lives to live victoriously as the battle rages on. And again, as you fill out a connection card, you can jot down how God may have spoken to you in His Word. And we encourage everyone to put the connection card in the offering receptacle, and thank you for your faithful giving. And God's Word is going forth, and we just so appreciate how the faithfulness of God's people given. But the point here is that we want to know your heart, your needs. We will be praying for you. So God, I pray that You would strengthen us and encourage our hearts now. Asking for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen.